Imagine waking up at like 4 in the morning.
That's always a rough start.
Right. You're reaching for your phone in the dark and you suddenly realize your corporate badge has just been deactivated.
Just absolute panic.
Exactly. And for, well, 8,000 Meta employees today, that wasn't a glitch at all. It was basically the first human casualty in this artificial intelligence arms race that is, completely rewriting the global economy right now.
Yeah, it really is.
So welcome to the deep dive. Our single source today is the Tikkun Morning 2026 AI Restructuring and Tech Crisis Report. And we are looking specifically at the events of May 22, 2026.
Which is today.
Yes, today. It's one of those rare tectonic shift kinds of days where you can literally see the entire landscape of the industry changing in real time.
It's just massive news across the board.
It really is. We are going to break down these massive corporate restructurings, some wild physics of consumer hardware leaps, regulatory battles across two different continents, and some serious engineering marvels.
Basically, the goal is to figure out what this chaotic, milestone-heavy day actually means for you.
Exactly. What it means for your career, your data, and your daily life. Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the sheer scale of the panic over at Meta.
Panic is honestly the most accurate operational term here. I mean, the emails cutting access to 10% of Meta's global workforce, they went out at 4 a.m. Singapore time.
Just a brutal way to find out.
Yeah, incredibly brutal. But the deeper story here isn't just the 8,000 people who, lost their jobs. It's what the company is doing with the people who actually survived the cuts.
Right, the pivoting.
Exactly. 7,000 remaining employees are being forcefully pivoted over to AI teams. And Mark Zuckerberg sent out this internal memo alongside the layoffs that, frankly, it strips away all the usual corporate optimism.
What did he say?
He stated point blank that success in the AI era, quote, isn't a given.
Wow. I mean, that is a staggering admission from a company that has enjoyed an effective monopoly on global social media for, what, 2 decades?
Yeah, pretty much.
They are essentially tearing up the floorboards to feed the furnace, and the cost of that furnace is just astronomical.
Oh, the numbers are wild.
Right. The report says Meta is planning to pour between $60 and $65 billion into AI infrastructure in 2026 alone, mostly buying up NVIDIA chips and building out these massive new data centers.
Right.
I look at this and it feels like they are trying to rebuild an airplane mid-flight. But instead of just changing the engines, they were tossing 8,000 passengers out the cabin door just to make room for a bigger fuel tank.
That's a great way to put it.
But why the sudden desperation? Why now?
Because they are losing the benchmark war. It's that simple. According to the Tekken report, Meta's upcoming Llama 4 model is significantly underperforming internally.
Like, how bad are we talking?
Well, it is basically stuck at the intelligence level of OpenAI's older GPT-4 Turbo.
Oof.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the competition, specifically OpenAI's GPT-5 and Anthropic's Claude Mythos, they've completely moved past basic text generation. They're into advanced multi-step reasoning now.
So Meta basically realizes Llama 4 is already obsolete before it even launches.
Exactly. So they are throwing the $65 billion Hail Mary at developing Llama 5.
But if we look at the raw compute power that OpenAI and Anthropic have already amassed, can Meta actually catch up just by, buying more NVIDIA chips?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, Meta possesses a hidden structural advantage that closed models like GPT-5 just don't have.
Which is what?
An unmatched pipeline of fresh human data. Think about their ecosystem. They have 3.2 billion daily active users
Yeah.
across Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp.
That's a lot of data.
It's a continuous real-time feed of diverse global human interaction, slang, negotiation, visual data, all of it. If they could figure out how to cleanly pipe that proprietary data into Llama 5's training run, it could be the exact fuel they need to bridge that reasoning gap.
And they are keeping it open source, right?
Yes. Furthermore, they are sticking to their open source strategy. By giving these models away for free, they are essentially attempting to commoditize their competitor's core product.
Right, forcing everyone else's prices down.
Yeah, and trying to build a massive developer ecosystem that's locked into the Meta architecture.
Okay, so that brings us to the reality for you, the listener. The Tekken report notes that over 142,000 tech jobs have been lost in 2026 alone, just as companies reallocate funds to AI infrastructure.
It's a massive shift.
Yeah, the days of getting hired just because you know a basic programming language, those seem to be ending.
The required skill stack has fundamentally changed for sure. The report stresses that survival in tech right now demands modern AI skills. You need a deep understanding of transformer architecture, for one.
And to break that down for a second, transformers are basically the underlying structural engines of these models, right?
Exactly. They analyze how words relate to each other across massive distances in a text, rather than just reading left to right like older systems did.
Got it.
You also need to know LLM fine-tuning, which is basically teaching a general model to speak in a specific corporate voice or follow strict industry rules. And crucially, you need experience with RAG.
RAG, Retrieval Augmented Generation.
Precisely. The easiest way to think of RAG is, imagine you're giving a brilliant but amnesiac intern a highly specific, updated instruction manual.
Okay, I like that.
Right. Instead of relying on whatever the AI model memorized during its training 2 years ago, RAG forces the AI to search a company's private, real-time database.
So it reads the current documents.
Exactly, and it generates an answer based only on those specific facts. Companies are absolutely desperate for engineers who can build secure RAG systems because it stops AI from hallucinating fake answers.
Which is huge for corporate liability.
Huge. If you have those skills, you are incredibly valuable right now.
So it's a brutal software arms race requiring data centers the size of small cities. But, you know, it's kind of wild how that desperate push for massive server power is simultaneously driving microscopic innovations on the consumer hardware side.
Oh, the hardware leap is fascinating.
Yeah. Anker just released their new Liberty 5 Pro and Liberty 5 Pro Max earbuds today, and the architecture inside them is a direct result of this exact AI boom.
It is a phenomenal leap in localized processing. I mean, Anker is debuting what they call the Thus AI chip inside these tiny earbuds.
Let's break down why that chip actually matters. Because, you know, traditionally, a computer chip has a processor over here and memory over there. They are physically separate units on the board.
Right. And that separation creates a bottleneck.
Huh.
Traditionally, a chip is like a chef who has to constantly walk across the kitchen to get ingredients from the pantry.
It takes a lot of time.
It takes time. And more importantly, for a tiny earbud battery, it burns a lot of energy moving that data back and forth.
So what does the Thus chip do differently?
It changes the physical architecture entirely by putting the memory and the processor in the exact same unit. So in our analogy, it puts the pantry directly on the cutting board.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, there's no travel time and virtually zero wasted energy.
And that efficiency is what allows the Thus chip to process audio data at an unbelievable 384,000 times per second.
Which is just a crazy number.
It powers their adaptive ANC 4.0, which means the noise cancellation adjusts instantly. If you are walking from a quiet street into a roaring subway station, the earbud recalculates the acoustic environment hundreds of thousands of times before you even register the sound change.
It's seamless.
But looking at their product lineup, I have to push back a bit on what Anker is actually selling us here.
Oh.
How so? Well, they have the Standard Pro for $179 on and the Pro Max for $249.99. But the actual earbuds in both boxes are completely identical, right?
Yes, identical audio drivers, identical Thus chips, yep.
The only difference is the charging case. The Max version comes with this incredibly bulky case featuring a 2.4-inch touchscreen.
Right, it's a big case.
And it can independently record and transcribe meetings with 85 to 90% accuracy locally on the device, though in English only.
Yeah, that's the pitch.
Are we seriously paying an extra $70 to carry around a heavy redundant screen that basically just does what the smartphone sitting 3 inches away in our pocket already does better?
What's fascinating here is your skepticism is entirely validated by the hardware realities.
Right. It feels unnecessary.
The architectural leap of the Thodlet, Thus chip inside the earbud, is a genuine engineering marvel. But the Max case, it really feels like a solution looking for a problem.
Exactly.
Unless you are a highly specific type of professional, say a journalist working in a secure facility where smartphones are banned but earbuds aren't, the Max makes very little sense.
So save the $70.
Yeah, for 90% of the people listening to this, the $179 base model Liberty 5 Pro is the far smarter buy. You get that same flagship level active noise cancellation and call quality without carrying around a second inferior smartphone screen.
Makes sense. Though it is a testament to the miniaturization of tech that we are even debating the utility of running local transcription models on an earbud case.
It really is.
But it is that exact same escalating processing power that brings us to the highest levels of government panic.
Yeah, Washington is scrambling.
Now, before we get into the Washington side of this, I want to make it incredibly clear to you listening that we are entirely neutral here.
Yes, completely impartial.
We are not taking any political sides. Our goal is strictly to look at the cold, hard data and the regulatory mechanisms presented in the Techin report. regardless of whether the actions come from a Republican executive order or European regulators.
You're just looking at the facts on the ground.
Exactly. So the core issue hitting Washington today is basically a mathematical mismatch in speed.
That is the perfect way to frame it. The Tekin report details President Trump's last-minute cancellation of a major AI security executive order. And this was pulled just hours before the scheduled signing ceremony.
This was a heavy piece of regulation, too. It would have required mandatory security evaluations, government penetration testing, and strict export restrictions for any AI model operating over 10 to the 26th FLOPS.
And just to put that metric into perspective, FLOPS stands for floating point operations per second. It is a measure of raw computational speed. 10 to the 26th power is 100 million billion billion operations per second.
So we are not talking about simple customer service bots here.
Not at all.
Yeah.
The government isn't trying to regulate chatbots. They are trying to regulate the threshold where a model crosses over from answering emails to autonomously mapping and manipulating complex network architectures.
And the lobbying around this threshold was fierce. Silicon Valley pushed really hard against it. You had prominent investor David Sachs publicly calling the security order, quote, something only doomers wanted.
But then you have the other side.
Right. On the flip side, you had intense warnings from Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and the Federal Reserve.
And what are they worried about?
They are specifically sounding the alarm over Anthropic's Claude Mythos model and its demonstrated ability to discover deep vulnerabilities in banking software.
Yeah, the banking sector is terrified.
Trump's stated rationale for canceling the order was that mandatory government testing would act as a blocker, and his administration's priority is maintaining an unhindered innovation lead over China.
Which is a valid strategic priority, definitely.
Right. And I understand the Federal Reserve's panic when they see an AI interacting with financial code. But let me challenge this hysteria just a bit.
Go for it.
Human hackers, state-sponsored groups, they have used automated scanning tools to probe for vulnerabilities in banking software for over a decade.
That's true.
So is Claude Mythos actually introducing a brand new type of threat to the financial sector? Or is it just the same old cybersecurity cat-and-mouse game playing out on fast forward? Here's where it gets really interesting.
This raises an important question about how speed fundamentally alters the nature of a threat.
Wow.
You are completely correct that finding a bug in code is not a novel concept.
Well,
but the speed changes the entire defense paradigm. Look, if a human hacker team takes 3 weeks to probe a banking network, locate a vulnerability, write an exploit, and deploy it, the bank's security team has 3 weeks of server logs to notice the anomaly.
They have time to patch the system and lock the doors.
Exactly. But if an autonomous model like Claude Mythos allows a single malicious actor to execute that entire kill chain in 3 hours, human defenders literally cannot type fast enough to stop it.
Wow. So the timeline of response is just broken.
Completely broken. And the tech and analysts pull no punches here. They argue that by removing the framework for even voluntary security testing, the ecosystem is flying blind.
And they have a prediction, right?
Yeah, a grim one. They predict a major AI-assisted cyber attack on critical infrastructure will occur within the next 6 months, simply because the models are being deployed into the wild much faster than legacy software architectures can be hardened against them.
That is a terrifying timeline. So American regulators are making a calculated gamble, right? Stepping out of the way to let the tech giants run as fast as humanly possible.
Yep. But looking across the Atlantic, European regulators are taking the exact opposite approach.
Very different vibe in the EU.
And again, just remaining totally impartial here, the EU isn't just putting up guardrails. They are going directly after the core revenue streams of these companies.
They really are. The European Union Consumer Organization, known as BEUC, has formally sued Google, Meta, and TikTok under the Digital Services Act, or the DSA.
What's the main charge?
The core charge is that these massive platforms are failing at a systemic level to protect users from weaponized financial scams. We are talking about hyper-realistic deepfake celebrity endorsements, automated crypto fraud, and AI-generated Medicare phishing specifically targeted at the elderly.
And the audit numbers in the report are incredibly damning. Consumer groups monitored 900 highly suspicious reported ads over a four-month period.
And what did they find?
The platforms only achieved a 23% removal rate. That means they left over three-quarters of reported fraudulent financial scams active on the platform.
That's a massive failure rate. It is, but it's the financial mechanics behind this failure that really explain what is actually going on.
Right, because it is not simply an oversight. It is an algorithmic blind spot driven by engagement metrics.
Mm-hmm.
An AI content moderation system is trained to optimize for user attention.
Right.
Well, nothing drives human attention quite like the sensational promise of sudden wealth or the terrifying threat of losing your Medicare benefits.
It's pure psychology.
Exactly. Scammers know this, so they craft ads that trigger massive engagement.
And the scammers are willing to pay a premium for that engagement. A 2025 investigation showed Meta made an estimated $2 to $3 billion from this high-risk advertising alone.
The math is just wild.
It really is. A legitimate brand running a normal ad might pay a cost per click, or CPC, of 50 cents to $2. But the organizations running these investment scams are happily paying CPC rates between $5 and $20 a click.
Because their payout on a successful scam is so incredibly high.
Mm.
Right.
So what does this all mean for Meta's strategy? I mean, they are pulling in $3 billion from these ads, but under the DSA, they risk a fine of up to 6% of their global revenue.
Which is huge.
Yeah, for Meta, that is somewhere around $7 or $8 billion. The math doesn't make sense unless they are betting the EU is too slow to actually enforce the rules, right? Is it just financial roulette?
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
It is a game of corporate financial roulette based entirely on short-term incentives. Think about it. An executive at a massive tech platform is not going to voluntarily walk into a board meeting and announce they are proactively shutting off a multi-billion dollar pipeline of $20 CPCs just to be good citizens.
Because that revenue props up their quarterly earnings.
Exactly. They will ride that incredibly profitable wave until a massive external regulatory force physically compels them to stop.
And the report actually predicts when that will happen.
It does. The report predicts the EU will drop a 5 billion euro fine on Meta within the next 3 months. Until that external financial pain exceeds the internal profit from the scam ads, the algorithmic moderation simply won't improve.
It is deeply ironic. You have regulators desperately trying to put a ceiling on what these tech giants can get away with, both in terms of AI power and ad revenue. But culturally, the market is demanding these exact same companies push the floor down.
Pushing boundaries everywhere.
Right. Rapidly lowering the physical and economic barriers to entry for everything from media production to aerospace. Which actually brings us to the final section of today's report, looking at Apple and SpaceX.
This is where we see the sheer, unadulterated engineering capability of these firms outside of the software realm. Apple just broadcast the first major professional sporting event, an MLS match between the LA Galaxy and the Houston Dynamo.
Shot entirely on smartphones.
Yes. Shot entirely on 15 consumer-grade iPhone 17 Pro devices, broadcasting live on Apple TV.
And to be clear, they aren't just, you know, pulling the phones out of their pockets and hitting the red record button. They are utilizing the absolute limits of the hardware.
Oh, absolutely.
They are shooting in ProRes 4K at 60 frames per second and utilizing the new 5X optical telephoto lenses. And most importantly, they are shooting in Apple log encoding.
That log encoding is crucial. Basically, it strips away all the automatic color processing and sharpening that the iPhone software usually applies to make your vacation photos pop.
Right. It looks kind of weird normally.
Yeah, it captures the raw light data in a very flat, gray-looking profile. But that allows professional editors in a broadcast truck to paint the colors and contrast back in perfectly, matching the workflow they would use with a $100,000 Hollywood cinema camera.
It is a massive flex of the iPhone sensor. But I look at this broadcast and I kind of see a highly produced magic trick. Well, yes, it looks incredible for a consumer smartphone. But think about the physical environment. It is a daytime soccer match in sunny California. The stadium has millions of dollars of professional broadcast lighting.
That's a fair point.
Those 15 iPhones are undeniably sitting on expensive, heavy, motorized gimbals to keep them perfectly smooth. And all the audio is being captured by professional boom mics and routed through massive soundboards.
So it's not exactly an indie setup.
Right. If you take that exact same iPhone into a dimly lit high school gymnasium or try to get a clean zoom shot across a football field at night, that tiny glass sensor is going to fall apart. For those low-light, high-action environments, massive professional camera rigs still reign supreme.
That's true. Yeah. The physics of light dictates that a small sensor will always have limitations, yes. But the broader impact isn't about replacing the Super Bowl camera crew tomorrow.
What is it about, then?
It is about democratizing access.
Yeah.
Apple is proving that the barrier to producing professional-level visual content is no longer a six-figure equipment budget.
Ah, I see.
If you understand the mechanics of good lighting, and you invest in clean audio, The computer already sitting in your pocket is capable of broadcasting to millions.
That makes a lot of sense.
And that overarching theme of shattering the barrier to entry leads perfectly into the SpaceX news today.
Because the ultimate barrier to entry has always been getting mass out of Earth's gravity well.
Exactly.
So SpaceX scrubbed the inaugural launch of their Starship V3 rocket today at literally T-minus 40 seconds due to a minor hydraulic pin issue in the launch tower.
A brief pause, sure, but looking at the scale of what is sitting on that pad is just breathtaking. Starship V3 is a 125-meter-tall behemoth.
It's massive.
It generates 17,000 tons of thrust. It is definitively the largest, most complex machine ever built to leave the atmosphere. NASA is completely reliant on this specific architecture, holding a $2.9 billion contract, waiting for a variation of this ship to act as their lunar lander.
But the real story of Starship V3 isn't the physical size or the thrust, is it? It is the brutal economics of payload mass.
Exactly. For decades, the rule of thumb was that launching anything into orbit cost roughly $10,000 per kilogram.
$10,000.
Okay. But Starship V3 is designed for full, rapid reusability. If SpaceX achieves their design goals, V3 promises to drop the cost of orbital launch down to just $100 a kilogram.
We really need to pause on that number.
Mm-hmm.
For context, $100 a kilogram means that sending a payload into low Earth orbit will cost less than overnighting a heavy FedEx package from New York to London.
It's unbelievable.
That entirely rewrites the economic rules of human spaceflight.
It takes space from a government-subsidized science project to a scalable commercial logistics sector. I mean, if you drop launch costs by a magnitude of 100, suddenly the business plans for private orbital space stations become economically viable.
Right.
The math for asteroid mining starts to actually pencil out. The primary barrier to expanding into the solar system is no longer a question of thrust or technological capability. It simply becomes a supply chain issue of how fast you can build the payloads.
Wow. It is staggering to look back at the scope of what we just covered from this single day in 2026.
It really is.
We started with the brutal human toll at Meta, sacrificing 8,000 jobs to fuel a $65 billion AI server arms race. We saw Anchor prove that entirely new chip architectures are pushing massive processing power right into our ears.
Yep. The thus chip.
We looked at the regulatory tug of war with the U.S. gambling on speed by dropping AI security testing, while the EU targets the perverse financial incentives of driving scam ads. And we finished with Apple and SpaceX proving that the physical and economic barriers to both global broadcasting and orbital logistics are collapsing.
It is a massive amount of systemic change compressed into just 24 hours. But if you take all these threads we've discussed today, the AI models scaling up, the lack of federal security guardrails, and the plummeting economics of space travel, it leads to one highly probable and deeply fascinating scenario.
Oh, where do all those threads intersect?
Think about the timeline here. If AI models, like Claude Mythos, are rapidly getting advanced enough to write complex system architectures and discover vulnerabilities entirely on their own,
right?
And at the exact same time, SpaceX is dropping orbital launch costs down to just $100 a kilogram.
Okay.
What happens in 3 years, when autonomous AI systems are capable of designing, funding, and deploying their own custom hardware constellations into orbit, completely independent of human oversight?
Wow. If the code basically writes itself and the launch is cheap enough, that is a completely different paradigm.
It really is.
We will leave you to ponder the implications of that one on your own. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Tech In Morning Report, and we will catch you next time.